Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 13th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Also this half hour, we'll hear from the state statisticians across the Midwest about crop conditions. Did you know, for the sixth straight week, Iowa has suffered from lower than normal rainfall averages? Joe Prasaki will be along to give us the blow-by-blow from the Hawkeye State. Speaking of precipitation, just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast, and along the way, we'll hear some interesting stats from the Illinois Farm Business Farm Management Record Keeping Association. You might want to start thinking about just how much it cost you to produce a bushel of corn or soybeans last year, for comparison's sake. Stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit finished the July contract at $3.69¾. They were off 4 cents today. September soft red winter wheat in Chicago at $3.87, off 2½. July wheat in Kansas City, $4.71½. The hard red winter wheat there settling 8 cents lower. July corn futures back in Chicago at $2.43¼, down 4¼. The September contract at $2.55 a bushel, off 4½ cents. And December futures at $2.68¾, down 4¾. March contract 4½ lower at $2.80. Soy complex now, July soybeans $5.95¾, down 4¼. August contract at $6.02½, off 4¾. And the September futures at $6.09¾ in the bean pit, down 4¾. The November harvest month off 4½ cents at $6.24½. Bean meal futures July contract $181.40. They were up 20 cents. And July bean oil in the products off 33 cents today at $24.97. Feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange $108.80. They were up 57½. And June live cattle at $78.05 were down 20 for the day. June lean hogs at $75.10. They were up $1.57½ on this Tuesday afternoon. Taking a quick look at the outside markets for the day, crude oil trading the July contract at $68.55 a barrel. They're off $1.81 at this hour. The CRB at $330.19, down 8.20, and the dollar at $86.40, down 0.42. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,717, now down 75 points for the day. And the gold futures finishing the July at 564.30 with a little bit of trade left for the day, down $44.40.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Wayne, let's take a look and see why it is that I can see you, but I can't hear you. Want to try it one more time for me? Oh, I can still
hear.
You're bouncing in and out. Let me see if I can.
Can you hear me, Todd?
Well, there. Well, can you hear me, Todd? It's like Verizon, isn't it?
Is this a telephone commercial?
It could be. She bounces in and out. I never know. Once in a while, we've got sometimes the equipment gets a little old in the places that, sometimes things just don't work right. And I don't know. I've got a couple buttons pushed the wrong way, but at least I can hear you at the moment.
Okay, Todd, we together now?
Yeah, we're together. So
all right.
Yeah.
It was quite a day today between weather forecasts, fund liquidation, and trying to perceive which weather forecast to watch, I think, and what was going to happen.
And then as that happened throughout the day, and I was away out of town actually today, so did the trade move on weather forecasts as the day moved through the day and different things came out. Is that right?
Well, basically, of course, the 4 o'clock weather forecast was a little kinder and gentler than the one we had yesterday, added a little more moisture back in. That's why we were down on the overnight. The morning, of course, we didn't change much, of course, so we opened easier. Then we worked our way back on up because of somewhat lack of selling, quiet trade. We had a little liquidation in the beans, liquidating some short contracts, and a little liquidation selling some of the long corn contracts by some of the big index funds. Then, of course, the noon weather came along, and depending on which one you wanted to look at, was putting a little moisture in after the fourth day out, but most everybody has some pretty warm weather through Monday. And looking at things, and it's been a very quiet trading day till about 12:30, and we got a little bit of volume back in, and then we seemed to ease on down into it, figuring that there were some fairly good chances coming out of the hurricane, bringing some, or the tropical storm, bringing some moisture up through the Gulf. But freeze notice and a few of the others talking about extended time period out with the with a dome beginning to form after the fourth day, and especially again later in the month.
I have another question for you, and we talked about weather yesterday, and certainly on Commodity Week, and most of our analysts are calling this a weather market at this time. But at the same time, volumes look like they're fairly low, and trade's been light over the last couple of days. Are people not convinced that it's a weather market, that it's too early at this point, and they're just sort of standing aside, or they're just not interested in the commodity markets at the moment?
I think it's a weather market. We just aren't getting a real good trend in the weather. You know, as we looked here, as we looked at the last few days, what have we seen? You know, we've seen a hot and dry. We've seen a little cooler. We seem to change every weather forecast rather than stay with a pattern that would incite confidence to be a buyer or seller of this market. I think Todd is one of the things. Also. You know, it seems like we were having a lot of disagreement between the European and American model and even the Canadian model, and verifying for more than 2 to 3 days out. I think that's one of the problems here that way. I think you would have to say we're a weather market today, and that we were only down 4 cents in the corn and the beans and the wheat here today. And as we look over at the energies and the metals today, you know, gold made its largest one-day drop. You know, that way, silver down $1.44 on the day, gold down 44, crude oil down $1.80. If we were playing the outside markets like we have in the past, Todd, you would have been down more than 4 cents.
And then I do want you to say a little bit with the technical and the outside market analysis. I'm looking at the 50-day moving average for the continuation contract and the corn. We did go down and touch that and traded below it, but looks like we settled right on there today. So
yeah, we settled right there. I mean, basically, you know, technically, we should see a little strength there, but if we break through it in the morning and whatever like that, but we're going to look very much to see what weather forecast verifies as much as that. But technically, yeah, we had some weaker closes today. You know, we were below 270 in the Dease corn, November beans, you know, back down below the 630 mark. You know, that, like I say, we weren't strong, but we are coming up against some pretty good support in these levels, and with the weather forecast varying as much as it has, with our need for trend line yields in the corn, you know, we look to see some stability here too.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
That's about it, Todd.
Thanks much, Wayne. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. At the bottom of the hour, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Ed Kieser says tonight across the two-state region, it'll be partly to mostly cloudy. This in northern parts of Illinois with some scattered showers, thunderstorms arriving elsewhere, partly cloudy. Lows this evening, says Ed, from 54 in northeastern Indiana to 62 in west central Illinois.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Up next, last year it cost Illinois farmers $3.05 to produce a bushel of corn. That's up substantially from the five-year average of $2.80 a bushel. On the other hand, it cost them $6.75 to produce a bushel of soybeans. And as you'll hear, the per-acre charge for soybean production in the state was on the low end of the scale, and maybe one of the reasons USDA's March 2006 Planting Intentions Report showed a national shift away from corn. The following numbers are gleaned from about 1,600 grain farms in the state of Illinois. Most have little or no livestock operation and are at least 500 acres or more in size. All participate in the Illinois Farm Business Farm Management Record Keeping Association. University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Dale Latz aggregated the numbers. The corn-soybean split on the tillable acres for 2005 was 56% corn, 41% soybeans. Now, this represents a small shift to more corn acreage over the previous year. Latz says two things make up the cost to produce a bushel of corn or soybeans: the total cost per acre and how many bushels were produced. Unfortunately, last year, he says, in the state of Illinois, on average, the yields were down from 2004, and that means it costs more to produce each bushel of corn.
As we look at the figures for corn for last year, first kind of breaking them out in what we call our variable costs, other non-land costs, and then land costs, the variable costs for corn last year rose from $190 an acre to $209, or about a $19 per acre increase for corn. And those variable costs are mainly your crop costs, fertilizer, chemicals, seed, machinery costs, repairs, fuel, and so forth. And most of those cost increase came about from fertilizer, which increased about $11 per acre. Pesticides and seed were both $4 an acre increases, and fuel increased about $2 an acre. So that made up the bulk of our increase in our variable costs.
The other non-land cost increased $9 an acre. Latz says most of the increase can be attributed to higher interest rates on outstanding loans. When you add all those figures up, Latz says it cost $458 an acre just to put a crop in the bin last year. That's $32 an acre more than the year before, and also one of the highest per acre charges on record.
And then when we look at our yields dropped on these farms from 184 bushel the year before in 2004, which was a record high yield, down to 150 bushel an acre last year. And so when we talk about cost per bushel, we've seen the cost per bushel for total cost increase from $2.32 in 2004 up to $3.05 per bushel. So again, higher cost, lower yield, and we've seen a pretty significant increase in cost per bushel.
On the soybean side of the ledger, Dale Latz says the variable cost increased $9 per acre.
Crop costs increasing along with fuel, other non-land costs increased $5 an acre, mainly the interest charge. And then land costs increased $4 an acre, just like corn. So total cost per acre, $351 per acre for soybeans last year compared to $333 per acre the year before. Yields on these farms averaged 52 bushel an acre compared to 54 bushel the year before. So relatively really good yields yet as far as that goes for soybean yield. Cost per bushel then did increase from $6.17 a bushel to $6.75 a bushel.
Unlike corn, which had one of the highest per bushel cost on record, Dale Latz says the per bushel charge for soybeans is one of the lowest in the last decade.
As a matter of fact, it's still one of the relatively lower cost per bushel for soybeans as we go back the last 10 or 15 years, because even though costs increase, it didn't increase at the magnitude that we did see in corn, and the yields were at relatively high levels. So on a cost per bushel standpoint, soybeans didn't look too bad compared to corn. And that's why there has been some discussion and some cropping pattern changes maybe this year. We'll see what the final acreage reports come out with, where some producers may be shifting back a little bit to a little more soybeans from corn because of the higher cost increases in corn.
By the way, that per bushel average will sound very high to most farm operators. That's because the interest reflects more than the outstanding loans. It includes an interest on the investment charge, so an interest charge for all the farm investments. The figures also give the farmer a salary of about $30 an acre. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The
United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report yesterday afternoon. It says 95% of the winter wheat crop has headed and 21% of that crop has been harvested. Though it's not in particularly good condition, 24% of the crop rated it very poor and 22% at poor. From the soybean side of that ledger, 94% of the crop is in the ground. 84% has emerged. That compares with 75% on the rolling five-year average. And crop condition for the beans, 55% in good condition, 12% across the nation in excellent condition. Corn emerged now at 98%, compares with a rolling five-year average of 95%, and is on par with last year's crop. Corn condition looks like this, 55% in good condition, and 15% in excellent condition. Now, here are the state statisticians from the Midwest.
This is Brad Schwab, director with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 11th. Precipitation ranging from 1 to 3 inches fell in most areas of the drier northern one half of the state, while the wetter southern half of the state reported accumulations ranging from none to just over 1 inch. This balance of precipitation left topsoil moisture supplies near ideal, with all crop reporting districts rated at mostly adequate, a rare occurrence in a state the size of Illinois. These conditions, paired with slightly below normal temperatures, allowed corn and soybean growth to flourish. Taking a detailed look at the crop progress numbers for the week, corn emergence has reached 99% compared to 100% 1 year ago and 97% for the five-year average. The average height of all emerged fields came in at 19 inches, 1 inch shorter than 1 year ago, but 2 inches taller than the five-year average of 17 inches. Overall, the corn crop was rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 19% fair, 62% good, and 15% excellent. Soybean planting advanced to 95% complete, trailing last year's 99%, but was ahead of the five-year average of 92%. Emergence of the soybeans reached 86% compared to 96% 1 year ago and 81% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean emergence was the West District at 98%. Statewide, soybeans were rated in fair to mostly good condition. Soft red winter wheat continues to mature ahead of normal, with 84% of the crop turning yellow compared to 78% 1 year ago and 74% for the five-year average. 38% of the fields are ripe compared to 16% 1 year ago and 18% normally. And by week's end, harvest was just getting underway at 1% complete. This is Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics. This is the crop weather report for the week ending June 11th. A large band of thunderstorms over the weekend caused ponding in low-lying areas of already saturated fields. Farmers reported concerns about weeds since the wet fields have prevented them from applying herbicides. Reports of significant armyworm populations in winter wheat fields has caused some farmers to scout closer and begin spraying. Topsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 2% short, 63% adequate, and 35% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 2% short, 69% adequate, and 29% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0.16 to 2.55 inches. Temperatures averaged from a low of 47 degrees to a high of 92. For the week ending Friday, 4.1 days were rated as suitable for field work. 97% of the corn acreage has been planted, compared with 100% planted this time last year and 97% for the five-year average. 91% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, compared with 100% this time last year and 92% for the five-year average. Planting of soybeans for the week made some progress but remained slightly behind the average pace. 87% of the soybean acreage is planted compared to 99% for last year and 89% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 94% of the soybean acreage is planted in the north, 91% in central Indiana, and 67% in the south. 73% of the soybean acreage has emerged compared with 93% last year at this time and 79% for the five-year average. Harvest of winter wheat acreage is underway in southern Indiana with 1% complete compared to 1% for the five-year average. This is Greg Press reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with a weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 11, 2006. There were 6 days suitable for field work last week compared to 3.6 days last year. Heat and humidity early in the week were replaced by chilly temperatures on Saturday and Sunday. The common theme was a lack of rain in most of the state, causing corn roots to be shallow. Spotty rains in northeast Iowa improved topsoil moisture and soybean germination. Crops generally look good, but they will need rain soon, especially if the hot temperatures that marked the first part of last week return. Topsoil moisture rated 14% very short, 34% short, 50% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture is rated 8% very short, 30% short, 61% adequate, and 1% surplus across the state. The statewide average precipitation was 0.7 inches, while normal for the week is 1.09 inches. This is Iowa's sixth consecutive week with below normal rainfall. Generally good subsoil moisture helped establish corn and soybean plants. Corn condition is reported as 3% poor, 18% fair, 57% good, and 22% excellent. Soybean emergence was reported as 94%, which is 6 percentage points ahead of last year and 11 percentage points ahead of the 5-year average. The soybean condition is reported as 1% very poor, 3% poor, 19% fair, 60% good, and 17% excellent. The dry week moved the first alfalfa harvest complete ahead by 21 percentage points, which is 14 days ahead of last year and 22 days ahead of normal. The hay crop was short from a lack of rain, but put up dry and is of good quality. This has been Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with a weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 11, 2006.
This is Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 11, 2006. Cooler weather and rainfall over the past weekend brought some relief to stressed crops and pastures. Corn conditions rated 6% poor, 32 fair, 55 good, and 7 excellent, below last year's condition. Soybean condition rated 1% very poor, 6 poor, 30 fair, 56 good, and 7 excellent, near last year. Wheat conditions slipped further and rated 51% very poor and poor, well below last year. Harvest is expected to begin next week in southwestern counties. Alfalfa first cutting was 90% complete, about a week ahead of average. Alfalfa condition declined and rated below last year. Sorghum was 72% emerged, condition rated below last year. Pasture range condition continued to deteriorate, with 23% good and excellent. Cull cow sales as well as hay prices have increased in some areas. This has been McCager Thompson with USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending June 11, 2006. Small grains advanced quickly into the jointing stage. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 3% very short, 23% short, 69% adequate, and 5% surplus. Some areas of the state would benefit from rain. The average temperature for the week was 65 degrees, 1.3 degrees above normal. Crops were rated in mostly good to excellent condition, and producers were busy with spraying and haying activities last week. As of Sunday, June 11th, corn height was estimated at 11 inches, 4 inches taller than the 5-year average height. Soybeans were 91% emerged, 13 percentage points ahead of average. Soybean height was estimated at 3 inches. 81% of the corn and 77% of the soybeans were rated in good to excellent condition. Spring wheat was 41% jointed, compared to 21% last year and 24% for the average. Oats were 59% jointed, compared to 36% for both last year and the average. First cutting alfalfa was 79% complete, compared to 24% last year and 38% for the average. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending June 11th, 2006. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason for University of Illinois Extension. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Your regional newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The emerald ash borer has been found in Illinois. State agriculture officials say the pest was found recently by a homeowner in a subdivision in central Kane County and may have been in trees there for as long as 5 years. Emerald ash borers have been blamed for killing more than 12 million ash trees in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. State ag officials plan to do a survey over the next few weeks to determine how far the bug has spread. Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich says he wants another debate with his GOP opponent, State Treasurer Judy Bartapinka, before the 4th of July. The Blagojevich campaign said today the governor wants to debate Topinka on ethics and health care. But Topinka says any more debate should wait until Labor Day when voters are paying more attention. She calls for a series of 12 debates to be held between Labor Day and Election Day. The two candidates have held one formal debate so far. Urbana Mayor Laurel Prussing says work on creating a Citizens Police Review Board has taken longer than expected, but she hopes the task force formed to study the issue can draft an ordinance at their meeting tonight to send along to the Urbana City Council. The Citizens Police Review Board would be an independent body set up to handle complaints about Urbana police conduct. An Archer Daniels Midland executive says the Decatur-based company will double its capital spending to at least $3.5 billion in the next few years. ADM President Patricia Wirt says the money will be used to invest in new ethanol and biodiesel plants, as well as other projects. Chicago's former city clerk has been sentenced to 2 years in prison for taking $48,000 in bribes to get companies work in the city's hired truck program. James Lasky, in March, became the highest-ranking official convicted in the two-year federal investigation of hired truck. The Indiana Supreme Court is hearing arguments this afternoon in a lawsuit over the planned lease of the Indiana Toll Road. One justice has removed himself from the case. Opponents of the lease want the court to void a requirement that they posed a nearly $2 billion bond to continue. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
This is WILL Urbana. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don. Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest to begin with, please.
Well, just a typical early summer pattern. We've got a little bit of rain coming in tomorrow with some showers and thunderstorms. But as we get into Thursday through the weekend, going to hit a warm, dry stretch. Temperatures are going to be very summery. Temperatures mostly 80s, lows down into low to mid-60s, although thunderstorm chances and maybe a bit of a cool down coming early next week. If you add everything up, pretty near normal conditions with both chances for rain and temperatures throughout the Midwest and Corn Belt over the next week or two.
We heard from the statisticians in Iowa this week that they've had 6 weeks of lower than expected rainfall averages. Might you be able to expand a bit on that?
Yeah, it does, especially some areas in the northern and western areas of the Corn Belt. Precipitation has averaged a little bit lower than normal, and although there's been a lot of activity, the systems coming through haven't been terribly good at widespread. This is something that we will have to keep an eye on. We do see more chances for showers and thunderstorms over the next week or two. But if they don't produce well, we'll be a little bit concerned maybe getting into late June and into early July.
And as you take a look at weather across the southwestern area of the U.S.?
Well, definitely going to be on the hot and dry side, at least initially, although some of the southern plain states will be getting into some showers and thunderstorms and cooling off a bit. This will be especially true for West Texas, Central Texas, Oklahoma, and some areas of Kansas. They'll see some relief from the heat and hopefully some rain.
And if you take a look at weather in other parts of the world, for instance, the Chinese corn crop, please?
Well, it looks pretty good in terms of rain in the central and southern areas with near normal temperatures. There's going to be some drier areas in some of the farther northern growing areas, but overall China looks to be pretty good in terms of precipitation and temperature.
Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
And that's Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets on Tuesday afternoons, by the way. And you can listen to today's futures analysis, the weather reports, right there on the World Wide Web. Just go to WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.